Could the Orlando tragedy have been avoided if we didn't deal with the threat of radical Islam with kit gloves? That's an interesting speculative question. Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now we have the privilege to talk with Art Moore, who's co-author with Phil Haney of a book called See Something, Say Nothing, a WND book. It may be well on its way to becoming number one. Art Moore is a news editor with WorldNet Daily and has been with them ever since, really, 9/11. Art, I am so glad to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, Jerry, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Okay, now, I know I'm asking a speculative question, but I think there's some issues of merit here. Could the Orlando tragedy have been avoided if we allowed the authorities to connect the dots and stop treating Islam with kit gloves and stop treating things, you know, being more concerned about political correctness than we are concerned about safety?
Well, I think it's clear. And you know, to be honest, we are speculating here, but I think it's clear that when you look at how the FBI treated Omar Mateen, you can see that they were thwarted, they were hamstrung, really, by so many of the policies that have been developed over the years, even beginning with the Bush administration, that are basically putting the civil rights, quote-unquote, civil rights and civil liberties of Muslims, including foreign Muslims, above national security. And, of course, civil rights are important, but there's always a balancing act, and what has happened under Obama is that civil rights and civil liberties has been put way above national security. And so three times Omar Mateen was investigated by the FBI, and three times they ended up with a dead end. They said there's nothing there, and now the whole world knows that there was something there.
Well, you mean they investigated him and they felt like, well, he's not a threat? Or was it more like, well, they investigated him and beyond this, we would be connecting dots that we're not allowed to connect? I mean, flesh that out.
I think it's the latter. I think it's, you know, connecting dots that we're not allowed to connect. If you look, for example, at FBI guidelines, you can find this on the web. It's this document called the FBI's Guiding Principles Touchstone Document on Training in 2012. And the first principle is that training, so we're training the FBI investigators, the very people who investigated Omar Mateen. And in their training, this guideline says they must conform to principles that adhere to the FBI's core values. What are those core values? The first thing, the first emphasis is protection of civil rights and civil liberties. And it goes on to say that you know, you can't do an investigation that's based solely on religious affiliation. And, of course, we're not talking about investigating solely on religious affiliation, but it goes further on to make it clear that, you know, if you go down certain paths, if you begin to assume that because a person is a part of a certain religious movement, then you're beginning to encroach on civil rights and civil liberties. And so it really puts a chilling effect on these investigators. And I think it's not just that document, but you know, I can tell you a number of things that my co-author, Philip Haney, witnessed that are in the book throughout his 14 years at DHS, different memos, different speeches that were made, even you know, speeches made by President Obama, that essentially put a chilling effect on these FBI investigators. And you know, it comes down to you could be taken to court, you know, if you encroach on the civil rights and civil liberties of Muslims, if you begin to use language that's disrespectful to them. And we can talk about that later, but it's quite remarkable that even in the last few days, there's been an advisory put out that says you can't use terms like Sharia or Jihad or Ummah, which are all, you know, terms that are very common to Muslims, but if you, you know, use these terms in a certain way, that could be disrespectful to them, and you can't do that.
You know, it's amazing. If you, I've just used a kind of a silly analogy, but if you watch a murder mystery or read a murder mystery like an Agatha Christie book or something like that, the motive is the key. In fact, this is the way Agatha Christie will often operate. She'll show you that this person had an absolute reason for doing the murder. She had the motive, or he had the motive. But then she'll give all kinds of excuses as to why this person really wasn't the murderer, but it turns out that person was. Bottom line is, take away the motivation. What's the point? If you deny allowing the nexus, to use a phrase from Andrew McCarthy, who prosecuted the blind sheikh, if we're not allowed to show that there's a connection here between Islamic theology, or at least some interpretations of Islamic theology, and this kind of violence, then we're taking away the whole point. So this is just a violent extremist. Yeah, but no, this is a violent Islamic extremist who took his interpretation of Islam, you know, to a violent degree.
That's exactly right. And here's the thing that is really pernicious, is that the Obama administration has a policy they call countering violent extremism. And what that means is that they are putting into a large pool people who say that they're Muslims. This is how the administration describes it. People who say they're Muslims who commit violent acts. They don't even want to say that they're Muslims. But they're putting those people in a big pool with right-wingers, as they describe them, people who are pro-life, people who defend the Second Amendment, a number of people who they would see as opponents of all that is good in America, who happen to be motivated by traditional Christian principles. They put them all together in this big pool and say that this is what we're up against. We're up against extremism, not against Islamic terrorism, jihadism. We're up against extremism.
Well, let me ask you this. By the way, for those who may have just joined us, we're talking with Art Moore, co-author with Phil Haney of the book See Something, Say Nothing of WorldNet Daily Books. The website, by the way, for the book is dhsexposed.com. And Phil Haney was a founding member of the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security. Now, I've got a theory, Art. I know it's not popular to say something positive these days about George W. Bush, but after 9/11, I think the policies of Bush-Cheney kept Americans safe from Islamic terrorism. When Obama came in, there was Fort Hood, there's also been San Bernardino, and there's now been Orlando. Am I wrong to, you know, connect some dots there, or am I just being, you know, Obama-phobic or something?
No, I think there clearly is a connection, and I think President Bush was admirable, certainly, in his right away standing up and saying that we're going to go right after the enemy. I think what has happened really is that this overarching culture that we live in, which has increasingly adopted politically correct views of tough issues such as the issue of Islam and how we interact with it, I think it just accelerated under Obama. And I think it's just clearly rooted in a worldview that says that we can't judge other cultures, that there's no such thing as a wrong culture. We can't say that this aspect of this culture or this religion is wrong or harmful or dangerous. We have to in the spirit of diversity, just accept everyone as they are. And so I think that's undergirding so many of these policies that we see that have clearly made America a more dangerous place to live in.
You mentioned earlier that your co-author, Phil Haney, had some trouble at the Department of Homeland Security, especially under the Obama administration. How about just a quick summary of that?
Well, he actually was investigated 9 times, and it culminated with a Department of Justice investigation against him. And I think what you can clearly see is that these were retaliatory investigations to try to intimidate him, to try to get him to quit. But he stuck with it for close to 14 years. And so many of these investigations were regarding his simply following the trail where it led. And he began to develop cases on networks such as the Hamas network in America. And clearly he was getting into areas that the administration didn't want him to go into. And this is the mind-boggling thing about this, is that, that Philip had developed a list of Muslim Brotherhood leaders who had all kinds of ties to violent terrorists abroad. These very leaders were being invited into the White House to sit at a table and to begin to develop or reform our national security policy. So people who were on the logs, the Secret Service logs for the White House, are people that Philip was investigating, and that clearly created a conflict.
You know, the Muslim Brotherhood is not our friend. There's just no question about it. In fact, your book points out about the some of the findings of the 2008 Holy Land trial, which a lot of people have no idea that that trial even happened. And yet, even still, your book points out that after the 2008 Holy Land trial, it's almost as if the bad guys are prevailing in modern America because of political correctness put into practice by this administration and other, you know, state officials.
It is amazing, because at the trial that you're talking about, this was the largest terror financing trial in American history. It was discovered that Americans, you know, these were Muslim leaders in America and Texas, were channeling funds to the Palestinian terrorist group Hamas, $12 million at least. And here's the thing, is that at this trial, the FBI itself presented evidence that many of these groups were front groups for the Muslim Brotherhood. They found this document. They presented at the trial a document.
The Grand Jihad
created
document
by the Muslim Brotherhood. Yeah. And it said that our aim here in America is to subvert the culture from within and to eventually overthrow Western civilization and establish the rule of Islamic law.
I it's amazing. Okay, now let me ask you this. Recently, I mean, after Orlando, President Obama got on Trump's case, and he was saying, you know, this guy is dangerous for the country, and one of the things he's doing is insisting that I, you know, use the word phrase radical Islam, and I never want to do that. Just how about a quick comment on that controversy?
Sure. I think this comes down to the issue of the importance of naming the enemy. And we know from, you know, the annals of warfare going back thousands of years that if you can't define your enemy, if you can't name your enemy, you have no...
Sun Tzu says, yeah,
exactly.
That's true.
Exactly, that's right. And so, I think it was just sad, really, to hear that and to realize that the President of the United States, our Commander-in-Chief, is unwilling to define the enemy, and it has deadly consequences for us going forward.
Hmm. What about that comment, though? Is it helpful or is it not helpful to use the phrase radical Islam? Because some people are saying, well, if you use that, then you're basically, you know, communicating to the whole Muslim world that we're at war with them. Whereas others are saying, no, actually, you're saying, you know, a lot of moderate Muslims will agree with you. These are radical Muslims and we don't agree with them. And by the way, the radical Muslims, it's been pointed out, probably kill more Muslims than they kill Christians or homosexuals or gays or Jews or whomever.
Right. I think, you know, the way to simplify it is to understand that terrorism is a tactic. It's a tactic in a bigger overarching objective, and that is to establish Islamic law in America. And if you're a person who identifies as a Muslim but says, the U.S. Constitution is it, I do not want to see Islamic law as the law of the land, I want to assimilate into American society, adopt American values, then I would say, you know, you're welcome. But
yes. But
if you accept the historic fundamental interpretation of Islam, going back to Muhammad, and if you believe that Sharia must become the law of the land, and by the way, the leader of the council, or one of the leaders of the council on American Islamic relations, has said as much. He's on the record saying that he wants Islamic law to be the rule in America. If this is your interpretation of Islam, then you're at conflict with us. And I think, you know, critics from the left need to be asked a simple question: under what system would you want to live, the U.S. Constitution or Islamic law, because that's really what it comes down to.
Wow. And on that note, we'll say goodbye. Again, we've been talking with Art Moore, co-author with Phil Haney of the book called See Something, Say Nothing. The website for the book is dhsexposed.com. Art, thank you so much. I enjoyed our time together. God bless you.